Warren spun up, runners on first and third, left side of the infield in, fairly close. Here's the pitch. And it's low, ball one. Low outside. Satchel Paige, born in Mobile, Alabama. And now George Barr walks out to the mound to talk to Satchel Paige about his style of delivery. Lou Boudreau comes in to see what they're going to talk about, and Bill Summers moves over to represent the American League. There always was, during the course of the season, a great deal of discussion about Satchel's style of delivery in so far as his windup was concerned, the hesitation pitch. And it was ruled illegal in the American League. That is to say, he would go into his windup, come to a stop up over his head, take that stride forward with his foot, and delay a second before he threw. Now we're ready to resume action. Runners on first and third. The pitch. Warren Spahn swings and fouls it back up onto the screen, out of play. And the count is 1-1. Satchel Paige, a 6-foot-3, 180-pounder, born in Mobile, Alabama, and although the American League roster lists him as living in Cleveland, he lives in Kansas City. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike two. As old Satch poured a fast one in there. Satch at least has a home in Kansas City. He visits down to Mobile. As Satch said one time, said, "I just live where I pitch." The right-hander all set. He throws. Spahn swings and lifts a high fly ball out into right center field. Maybe deep enough for a score. There's the catch by Dobie. Tagging up is Mike McCormick. He comes racing into the plate and scores after the catch. Holding first is Stanky. So Warren Spahn sent a fly ball into right center, which Larry Dobie caught for the second out of the inning, but was deep enough to enable Mike McCormick to tag up and score after the catch to make it now an 11-5 ball game in favor of the Boston Braves. Two down, and we go to the top of the order for the second go-round. As Tommy Holmes started it off, he becomes the 10th batter to come to bat in the 7th inning for Boston. A left-hand hitter. Satchel Paige ready, throws. Tommy Holmes takes over the outside corner for a called strike. Paige did some great pitching for the Cleveland Indians in spots during the course of the season. He won 6 games and lost 1. The right-hander's ready. Checks his runner, throws outside for a ball, and the count is 1-1. Paige won 6 and lost 1 in 21 appearances, worked 73 innings, allowed 61 hits, walked 22, and struck out 43. Warren Spahn, incidentally, becomes the first pitch in the series to drive in a run. Satchel Paige delivers to Tommy Holmes, and it's inside. Ball 2, 2-1. Paige, through his many years of pitching, is quite a cute one out there. Bill Boisel, who's scheduled to work tomorrow if the series continues in Boston, looks up here and waves at Jimmy Britt. And yours truly. Here's the pitch now. Tommy Holmes swings and hits a fly ball down the left field line. It's going to go foul, out of play, into the left field stands. Dale Mitchell went over but couldn't get to the ball in time. And the count on Tommy Holmes is 2-2. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. And I suppose after the press and radio had done so much talking about the low scores and low hit totals over the first 4 games, these two teams decided to do something about it today. And they have with a vengeance. All right, here's your pitch. Tommy Holmes swings and lifts a high pop-up foul down the left field line. There is Kenny Keltner racing for it. Can't get it. Just drops in behind him. Dale Mitchell came over, but he couldn't get to it either. And so Tommy Holmes has another opportunity. Satchel Paige is listed as having been born in Mobile, Alabama, September the 18th, 1908, which would make him 40 years of age. However, there was a report during the course of the summer in which Satchel Paige's mother said that he was 44, which spiked rumors to the effect that Satchel was up around the 50s. He's been pitching a long time. The right-hander with a stretch, checks the runner, Stanky leading off first. Here's the pitch, swung on, drilled down the left field line, and it goes foul. As Tommy Holmes continues to hit him down the left field line, that ball was somewhat similar to the one he hit in the 8th inning of the first game that gave Johnny Sain victory over Bobby Feller 1-0. Boston Braves, 11. Cleveland Indians, 5. Top of the seventh inning. This inning's been going on a long time. Satch Page ready. Check Stanky. Here's the pitch to Holmes. And wait a minute. Billy Greve called a balk. There was a balk called on Satchel Paige. Paige came up with a stretch and then broke it before he delivered to the plate. That is to say, he came down and stopped and then re-engaged the stretch, so to speak. And immediately, Billy Greve called the balk. So they've just called a balk on Satchel Paige, which enables Eddie Stanky to move down to second base. Well, I guess that sort of completes the day. Now we've had just about everything. Ready for the payoff pitch to Tommy Holmes. Here it is. Tommy swings, sends a ground ball out to short, taken on two big hops by Lou Boudreaux, throws on over to first in time for the out. So Satchel Paige got him out. And for the Boston Braves in the big seventh inning. Six runs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hits. One error for the Cleveland Indians. One man left on for Boston. And at the end of 6.5 innings, the score, Boston, 11, Cleveland, 5. In the words of Bucky Walters of the Cincinnati Reds, the modern Gillette Super Speed Razor is something super special. As you heard him say, he can't imagine a more convenient razor or one that shaves as easily. Men, with this razor, you change blades instantly and enjoy matchless shaving comfort as well. Now, the Gillette Super Speed Razor is a precision instrument, not a gadget. There's nothing to fit together, nothing to jam or clog, and you don't have to be a locksmith to make it work. Twist, it opens. Zip, it's loaded. Then twist again. Yes, blade changing is that easy. To clean, just loosen the razor, rinse, shake, and put away. I'm shaving. Super Speed Razor. You get it complete with a 10-blade Gillette dispenser, a big $1.50 value for only a dollar. And so we have concluded the longest half inning in this series and the biggest half inning in this series as the Braves tee off for 5 hits and 6 runs. Now, one of the runs was charged to Russ Christopher. We keep our record straight. 7 to Feller, 3 to Kleiman, 1 to Christopher. And as we come to the last half of the seventh inning, we're going to have a pinch hitter for Satchel Paige, who was scheduled to hit. And naturally being behind by a score of 11 to 5, Lou Boudreaux sending up a pinch hitter. It's going to be Al Rosen. Al Rosen, who had a great year with Kansas City in the American Association, came up in time to be eligible for the World Series. Good hitter, right-hand batter. Steps to the plate. Warren Spahn, the left-hander, into the windup. In comes the pitch. Rosen looks at a fastball that's low. Ball one. After reporting to the Indians, leaving Kansas City, Rosen was in 5 games, went to bat 5 times, had 1 hit. In comes the pitch. Rosen looks at it. It's over for a called strike, 1-1. Bob Moncrief, a right-hander, is throwing the bullpen for Cleveland. Cleveland fans begin that rhythmic applause, calling for a rally. Warren spawns into his windup. Round comes the left arm. Here's your pitch. Al Rosen takes outside. Ball 2, 2-1. They play Rosen as a pull hitter. Outfield way around toward left. And you've got Tommy Holmes in a shallow, extreme right center. Now the pitch. Rosen swings, pops it up out into short center, backing up his Stanky. He makes the catch about 10 feet back from the outfield grass, directly behind the bag. So Rosen, batting for Page, pops to Stanky. Now we go to the top of the Cleveland order to pick up Dale Mitchell. Mitchell hit a home run, leading off for the Indians in the first inning. Line to left in the third and got a base on balls in the fourth inning. Here it is, the last of the seventh. He hasn't been to bat since the fourth. Warren Spahn came on in the fourth inning to relieve Potter and has done some wonderful pitching. He throws high, ball one. Potter, who started for the Braves, went 3 1/3 innings, gave up 5 hits and 5 runs. Warren Spahn all set. He throws and gets the outside corner for a call strike. One and one. One ball, one strike, one out. The left-hander working rapidly, pitches. Mitchell swings and lifts a high pop-up just off to the right of the mound. Earl Torgerson comes in on the grass of the infield, makes the catch, and they're two away. Two men down for the Cleveland Indians in the last half of the seventh inning of an 11-5 ball game, which was nip and tuck until the Braves scored six in the top of the seventh. Now here's Larry Doby, who grounded second, grounded out first baseman to the pitcher who covered, and then struck out in that order. Left-hand hitter, Warren Spahn throws. Fastball that's low inside, ball one. Spahn was attempting to negotiate the inside corner knee-high on Doby. Spahn has turned in one of the finest stretches of pitching we've seen in the series thus far, and we've seen some great pitching up until today. Now the pitch swung on, fouled off right up here. Look out. I admired that Jim Britt. Ice water in his veins. He barely flinched. One ball, one strike. Two down. Last the seventh. Warren Spahn throws. Pitch inside to Doby. Backs him away from the plate. Ball two. One strike, two outs. Last the seventh. Bob Moncrief throwing the bullpen for Cleveland. He'll come on to do the pitching when we go to the eighth inning. Rosen having batted for Page. Here's your delivery. Swung on by Doby. A long fly ball down the left field line. Marv Rickert races over, is getting under it, and makes the catch. So the Indians unable to do anything with Spahn in the last half of the seventh, are out in order. And at the end of seven innings of play, it's 11-5 in favor of the Braves. And now Warren Spahn has retired 3-6-9. 10 men in a row. 3-6-9-10. He allowed one man to reach first base since he relieved Potter in the fourth inning, and that was Dale Mitchell, whom he walked after retiring Bobby Feller. Potter was removed after Jimmy Hegan hit a three-run homer in the fourth inning to send the Indians ahead of the Braves 5-4. So we're ready to move now to the top half of the eighth. Your seven-inning totals show the Boston Braves with 11 runs, 11 hits, no errors, 5 men left on. Cleveland, 5 runs, 5 hits, 2 errors, and 3 men left on base. Bobby Feller started, went 6 3rd innings, allowed 8 hits, walked 2, struck out 5, gave up 7 runs. Ed Kleiman came on in the 7th, couldn't get anybody out, allowed 1 hit and 3 runs. Russ Christopher came on in the 7th. He couldn't get anybody out, allowed 2 hits and 1 run. And Satchel Paige finally came on and put out the fire. Although he permitted Warren Spahn to hit a long fly ball to Doby, then enabled a runner at third to tag up and score after the catch. So Bob Moncrief comes on to do the pitching now for Cleveland.
Number 25, Moncrief, pitching for Cleveland.
Bob Moncrief, the 5th Cleveland pitcher of the ball game. And it's odd that in the first 4 games of this World Series, every Cleveland starting pitcher went the distance. But today, Lou Boudreau has had to call on 5 men. Feller went to the 7th with 1 out, and then came in order Kleiman, Christopher Page, and now Moncrief. Bob Moncrief, a 6-foot, 190-pounder, born in Medill, Oklahoma, now lives in Denison, Texas. And the right-hander will have to pitch first to Al Dark as we go to the top of the 8th inning. Right-hand batter. Moncrief throws. High outside. Ball one. Dark has had 1 out of 3. First inning single. Grounded to the 3rd. Fly to center and then sacrificed in that order. Moncrief throws a pitch that swung on. A grounder hit out to short. 2 hops to Lou Boudreau. He's up with it. Throws over to Eddie Robinson in time, and Dark is out. Short to first. Boudreau to Robinson. Earl Torgerson steps up. A left-hand batter. Line to right field, grounded to first, fly to left, and single to center. Driven in 1 run. Bob Elliott's driven in four with a pair of homers. Rickard's driven in one, Saul Kell one, Mike McCormick one, Stanky one, Spahn one. Everybody but Holmes and Dark have driven in runs for the Braves. There's a pitch that's cut on viciously and fouled off onto the screen. Strike one. Should the series return to Boston tomorrow, and as the score now stands, it will, we'll be on the air at the same time, which will be 12:45 Eastern Standard Time for the sixth game of the World Series. Now the pitch. It's high. Ball one, one and one. One ball, one strike, one out. We always say should, or in the event of, since those of you who are great baseball fans know that a game is never over till the last man is out. Now the pitch. Inside. Ball two, two and one. Two balls, one strike. One out. Top half of the eighth inning. Braves 11. Indians 5. Been a lot of tattooing in the TP today. Here's Moncrief's pitch, and it misses the outside corner for ball three. Three and one. Torgerson has a look at Johnny Cooney, who's now coaching at third base. This is the first time I recall that Billy Southworth, the Braves manager, hasn't appeared on the coaching lines in the series. Now the pitch. Swung on and missed, strike two, as Torgerson leveled off, hoping to go all the way with that one. Freddie Fitzsimmons is coaching at first base, and Johnny Cooney at third. I guess Billy Southworth figures that he must have gotten awful tired getting those six in the seventh and wants to rest a while. Now the payoff pitch to Torgerson. Swung on, lined over the head of first baseman Eddie Robinson, down the right field line for a base hit. Judnick over to the line, up for the ball, whips a throw into second, and Torgerson has to go back to first after taking his turn. That ball normally would have been an out. Although it was well tagged, it would normally have been a one-hopper to Eddie Robinson deep at first. But as he waited for the hop, it bounced not into his glove, but high over his head as he hit a hard spot on the infield, and thus becomes a base hit for Earl Torgerson, his second consecutive base hit, and the 12th hit for the Boston Braves today, which is a team high for a single game in the series. And now Bob Elliott, who's had two homers in succession, a strikeout and a walk, is up. The pitch, low outside, ball one. One out, one on, top of the eighth. Braves 11, Indians 5. Outfield around toward left for Bob Elliott. Infield shaded around toward third. Bob Moncrief throws. Curveball that zips over the heart of the plate. About belt high for a called strike. One and one. One ball, one strike, one out. Moncrief looks in to get that sign from Jimmy Hegan. Torgerson dances off first base. Here's your delivery. Swung on, slow grounder, hit foul down the third baseline. Kenny Kellner goes over to get it. Everybody was kidding, Kenny. You know, for the World Series, generally the teams that participate have brand new uniforms made. They like to blossom out in the World Series with spanking new uniforms. And then they'll use those as their road uniforms for the next season. Rather, their home and road uniforms for the next season. Tell you about Keltner in a moment. Here's the pitch, and it's inside and high to Elliott for ball two. Keltner got his brand new uniform, but they forgot to order a cap to fit him. So he had to use the old one that he used during the regular season. They were kidding him about having on a brand new suit and an old hat. Two balls, two strikes, one out. Bob Elliott, the batter. Earl Torgerson moves off first. Robinson holding against him. Moncrief throws a pitch that dips low inside for ball three. Three and two. The Cleveland pitchers were getting Bob Elliott out pretty regularly up until today, even in the clutch. But after he hit those two successive homers his first two times up today, they've been pitching mighty carefully to him. Now we're ready for the payoff pitch. There goes the runner. The pitch is swung on, lined out to left field. Dale Mitchell comes and makes the catch for the out. Torgerson, who's all the way down to second, has to turn and hustle back to first to avoid being doubled up. Bob Elliott hit that one right on the nose, but right at Dale Mitchell in deep left for out number two. Elliott lines to Mitchell. Now that brings to the plate Marv Rickard. Rickard looked at the third strike in the first inning. Grounded out to Eddie Robinson in the third, who flipped to Bobby Feller, who covered first. Struck out again in the sixth inning, and then single to center in the big seventh. Bats him left-handed. Outfield plays him to pull. Moncrief, the reliever, lobs the ball over to first base to Robinson. Runner back in plenty of time, Earl Torgerson. Now Moncrief again is ready. Has his stretch, throws. Pitch is inside for a ball. Curveball, it broke in. One ball, no strikes. Boston Braves, 11. Cleveland Indians, 5. There's a quick throw to first base. Again, not in time, as Torgerson, watching Moncrief very closely, gets back to the bag. Moncrief, once more of the stretch. Torgerson moves off. Here's your pitch. Swung on. There's a drive out into right center field. Judging Grace is over. He's going to get under it and makes the catch for the out. No runs, one hit, no errors, one left on. And at the end of 7.5 innings of play, the score, Boston 11, Cleveland 5. Men, make it a point to get the sensational new Gillette dispenser that puts 20 Gillette blue blades, 40 shaving edges, right at your fingertips. With it, you change blades in a flash. Push with your thumb and zip. There's a blade unwrapped, ready for use with any Gillette razor. You save time, save bother. Also, the shaving edges are perfectly protected at all times. They don't even touch the dispenser when blades are being ejected. Here's the handiest shaving aid you ever used. Yes, and you pay no premium for it. Just 98 cents, the price of 20 Gillette Blue Blades. For utmost convenience, buy Gillette Blue Blades in the modern Gillette dispenser. Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. Strolling bands moving through the stands entertain the crowds here at Municipal Stadium in Cleveland. That's traditional during the course of the regular season. Mr. Bill Beck, genial president of the Indians, spares nothing to entertain the crowds that jammed this huge stadium on the shorefront of Lake Erie. Now we're ready for the last half of the eighth inning. Lou Boudreau is up, a right-hand hitter. Warren Spahn throws a pitch that's right over there for a call strike. Fastball. Spahn generally is most effective with that slow curve of his. But he's been using his fastball pretty effectively today. There's a pitch that swung on, drilled out in the right center field, and it's in there. Possibly for extra bases. Chasing the ball out there is Mike McCormick. Lou rounds first, heads for second, and goes in standing up for the double. Lou Boudreau drives on the right center pursuit. And that is the first hit given up by Warren Spahn since he relieved Nelson Potter in the fourth inning with one away and retired the side. After the Indians had gotten four runs to take the lead away from the Braves, 5-4 at that point. Clyde Chown, a left-hander, and Vern Bickford, a right-hander, throwing the bullpen for the Braves. Joe Gordon up for Cleveland, looks at a pitch that's high for ball one. Gordon walked in the first inning, single to left in the fourth, and line to Elliott in the fifth. Warren Spahn with the stretch, checks Boudreau leading off second, the pitch. Gordon bluffs a bunt, takes a delivery that's in there for a called strike. Elliott laying back deep at third. Gordon might have attempted to lay one down just to get another man on base. 11-5 the score last the eighth inning. That's the Indians' objective right now, to get as many men on base as they can. Warren Spahn ready, throws. Gordon takes strike two. It's called. Fastball over that outside corner. One ball, two strikes, the count on Gordon. From here, it would appear that Spahn, who is supposed to be most effective with that slow curve, is crossing the Indians up by making use of his fastball. Now the left-hander delivers. Gordon takes outside. Ball two. 2-2 the count. No matter what a pitcher throws, if he could figure he could outguess those batters, that's what he would throw, whether that be his pet pitch or not. Now Spahn is ready, delivers. Joe Gordon swings, pops it foul, out of play behind the plate. Ball going into the upper deck. You got a 2-2 count on Joe Gordon. Last half of the eighth inning, Lou Boudreau on second base with a two-base hit. Indian fans starting that rhythmic applause again, calling for that rally. Now the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Joe Gordon really leveled off on that one. He was going all the way. Incidentally, for Boudreau, that is his third double of the series. He's had three out of the Indians' five doubles. Now you've got Kenny Keltner up, a right-hand batter. Warren Spahn throws. Keltner swings, lifts a long fly ball, curving foul, going out of play, missing the upper deck in left field and going into the lower stands over the Braves' bullpen. The Braves' bullpen being located in a spot off the foul line in deep left field. Indians' bullpen in a similar spot off the foul line in right field. All right, Boudreau leads off second. Spahn with a stretch, throws. Keltner looks at a fastball and gets that outside corner for a called strike. Spahn is working it beautifully today. He, instead of the Indians outguessing him, he's outguessing the Indians. They're looking for that slow one, and when they're looking for the slow one, he gives them the fast one and vice versa. Now the pitch, slow curve, and it's high, very high. Ball one, 1-2. The Indians got five hits off starter Nelson Potter in the 3 1/3 innings that he worked. And the double by Boudreau leading off here in the eighth inning was the first hit off Spahn, who had retired 10 men in a row, had walked one man only in the time he'd been on the mound. Now the pitch. Keltner takes strike three, call over that inside corner. Fastball. Came in there about ladder high up. Beautiful pitch. And now you've got coming up to the plate a pinch hitter for Walter Jednik. It looks as if it may be Ray Boone.
Your attendance, please. Number 28, Ray Boone.
Ray Boone.
For Jednik. Number 28,
Ray Boone.
Boone. Batting for
who
Jednik.
Appeared, came to the Indians at the end of the year. Went to bat for them five times in six games, had 2 out of 5 for a .400 average. Ray Boone, 6 foot, 188 pounder from San Diego, California. Batting for Jednik. Here's the pitch, and it's over that outside corner for a called strike. And Warren Spahn continues to stay ahead of the hitters. Boone, a right-hand hitter. Judnick's a left-hand hitter. That's the reason for the switch. Now the pitch is high outside. Ball one, 1-1. Lou Boudreau wants to get a right-hand hitter up there. The score is 11-5 in favor of the Braves, last half of the eighth inning. Spahn all set. Boudreau leads off second. Here's your pitch. Ray Boone swings and he misses. Strike two. And Spahn is spinning masterfully. One ball, two strikes, two outs. The left-hander's all set. Again with the stretch. Checks his runner. Here's the pitch. Boone takes just outside for ball two. 2-2 the count. Lou Boudreau opened the inning with a double. Has remained there as Gordon Keltner struck out. Ray Boone, a pinch hitter up, and the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. And Warren Spahn strikes out the side. And the sportsmanlike-minded Cleveland fans, many of them, stand up and applaud him as he walks off the mound. No runs for Cleveland. One hit. No errors. and one man left on base. And the score at the end of eight innings, the Boston Braves, 11, Cleveland Indians, 5. Before we go into the ninth inning, ladies and gentlemen, we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
For the World Series and other top sporting events the year round, keep tuned to 710. This is WOR, New York.
As we go into the top of the ninth inning, a change in the Indians' lineup. Ray Boone, having batted for right fielder Walter Judnick, means that we'll have a new right fielder. We're just trying to check to see whether or not that's Thurman Tucker. No, it's Hal Peck. Hal Peck going into right field. A boy from Big Bend, Wisconsin. The fellow had a great future predicted for him as a major leaguer, but in an unfortunate accident, lost some toes on the foot and never has been quite able to reach the grade expected of him. Now as we go to the top of the ninth inning, Bill Salkeld swings the first pitch and fouls it off to the right of the plate. Out of play, strike one. And so, in a sense, we think it quite fitting and, a bit of justice, in a sense, for Hal Peck to at least get into a portion of a World Series. He's delivered some telling blows in the role of a pinch hitter for the Indians in the course of the year. Bill Salkeld now takes, and it's in there for call strike two, breaking pitch that had him wiggling, started to swing, held up, started to swing again, and held up finally, and the ball was in there. Bob Moncrief, right-hander, fifth pitcher used by the Indians today, into the windup. The two-strike pitch, Salkeld swings and fouls it off onto the screen. Two strikes to count on Bill. Flied to center, popped to second, hit a home run, and walked. It was his home run in the sixth inning that tied the score at 5-5. Then the Braves leveled off in the seventh for six runs to go ahead 11-5. Moncrief throws, Salkeld swings and fouls this one off to the left of the plate out of play. Bobby Hogue and Vern Bickford throwing the bullpen for the Boston Braves now, two right-handers. No activity in the Indians' bullpen. Billy Southworth having a couple of boys ready as against a ninth inning uprising by the Indians. Now the pitch to Salkeld is swung on. Little grounder hits slowly out towards second. Gordon charges the ball up with it, throws to Robinson, covering in time for the out. And it took a lot of good teamwork on that play to retire Salkeld because it was one of those teasing kind of bounders, hit slowly, too far off to the right of the mound as you look out onto the field for the pitcher to get. And if the first baseman had come off to field it, there probably would have been nobody to cover first. And so Joe Gordon, sizing up the play quickly, hollered, "Get over there, Ed." You could hear it way up here in our booth, the crowd being comparatively silent. Gordon fielded it through to Robinson for the putout. Mike McCormick takes inside for a ball, right-hand hitter. One out, top of the ninth inning, 11-5, favor the Braves. McCormick was safe on an error, line to right, grounded to short and single to right in that order today. Everybody's driven in a run for the Braves, but Holmes and Dark. The pitch inside, fastball, ball two. Holmes has had a pair of hits. Dark has had one. Torgerson's had a pair. Elliott has had a pair. Two homers, first two times up. Rickard's had one. Salkeld's had a hit, a homer. McCormick and Stanky have hit. Here's your pitch. Swung on, popped up into the air, down toward third. Kenny Keltner getting under the ball, waiting, and he makes the catch for out number two in the top of the ninth inning. Nelson Potter, the starting pitcher, had a hit. And Warren Spahn, thus, is the only man in the Braves lineup who has not hit safely today, although he drove a long fly ball to center field that enabled a runner to score after the catch. Now Eddie Stanky steps up, fly to center, walked twice and single to right in that order.
Moncrief throws, Stanky takes, strike one call, fastball, he got the inside corner. Bob Moncrief, tall Texan, throws, the pitch, curve, inside. Ball one, one and one. One ball, one strike, two outs, top of the ninth inning. Moncrief ready. He's into this windup. Round comes the right arm. The pitch. Stanky looks at the curve that stays way outside. The ball, as a matter of fact, gets away from Jimmy Hegan. And the count is 2-1. Should the score remain as it is, or at least with the Boston Braves on top when the firing is over for the day, the scene will shift to Braves Field in Boston for the sixth game of the World Series. And it will be Bill Boysel going for the Braves, and most likely Bob Lemon for the Cleveland Indians. Here's your pitch. Stanky swings and lines it solidly down the left field line, and it is fouled by 2 feet. As a matter of fact, Joe Paparella, the American League alternate umpire who's stationed deep down the left field line, had to jump out of the way of the ball. He was standing in foul territory to avoid being hit by it. You know, Stanky, to have the outfield playing so shallow for him comparatively, has hit a couple of long balls in this series. Foul. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Bob Moncrief all set. The right-hander throws. Stanky swings and loses his bat as he pops one up near the first base line, which Moncrief himself grabs for the out. And we were looking for the umpires to signal whether the ball was fair or foul. It looked foul from here, but in the final analysis, it doesn't matter. There was a little pop-up that the first baseman or the catcher could get to since it wasn't high enough, but the pitcher was able to go over and get it. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on. And at the end of 8.5 innings, the Braves lead 11-5. You know, fans, some statistics are interesting, like batting averages. Others are pretty grim, like the awful figures on highway deaths we read after every holiday weekend. According to the National Safety Council, speed, drink, and carelessness cause most accidents on the highway. And in almost every instance, there are one or more violations of the law. So don't speed, don't drink when driving, and don't take a chance. Be careful. Remember, the life you save may be your own. Last half of the ninth inning for the Cleveland Indians. It'll be Eddie Robinson, Jim Hegan, the first two batters, and most likely a pinch hitter for Bob Moncrief. 11-5 the score in favor of the Boston Braves. Eddie Robinson steps up. He flied to center, popped short, and grounded to second. Warren Spahn, who relieved Nelson Potter in the fourth inning, getting set to work. Vern Bickford alone is throwing the bullpen now for the Braves. Bob Hogue, who was warming up with him a moment ago, is no longer doing so. It's Bickford all by himself. All right, Warren Spahn into the windup. Here's the first pitch. Last of the ninth inning to Eddie Robinson. He swings and lifts a fly ball out into short left field. Marv Rickard under it, waiting, makes the catch. And there's one away for the Indians in the last half of the ninth inning. Now you've got Big Jim Hegan coming up, who grounded a third, hit a home run, and struck out in that order. And now, anticipating the necessity of going back to Boston, Warren Spahn into the windup now to pitch to Jim Hegan. And the pitch is high for a ball. We had to hold up there. We're trying to get the information that's being announced over the PA system in the press box as to departure times for the trains. Warren Spahn into his windup. Here's the pitch. And it's high outside. Ball two. Two balls, no strikes, one out, last the ninth. 11-5 in favor of the Braves. Spahn throws, and gets that outside corner for a called strike. Warren Spahn, a 6-foot, 175-pounder from McAlester, Oklahoma, throws a pitch that swung on and missed, strike two. Spahn was born in Buffalo. He lives in McAlester, Oklahoma now. And he has certainly turned in a tremendous job of pitching since he relieved Nelson Potter back there in the fourth inning. The left-hander delivers the 2-2 pitch, swung on, fouled back to the screen. Count holds at 2-2. And Jimmy Hagan was on the verge, or I shouldn't have said on the verge. He was in position to have been the hitting hero of this ball game. He had a home run with two on in the fourth inning that put the Indians ahead of the Braves 5-4. Now the pitch. Jim swings and he misses. Strike three. And Warren Spahn has struck out four of the last five men he's faced. A total of six altogether since he came on in the fourth inning with one out. And now Joe Tipton is going to come up to bat for Bob Moncrief. Joe Tipton, a right-hand hitter, coming up to bat for Bob Moncrief. Tipton is a reserve Cleveland catcher, 5-foot-11, 185-pounder from McKaysville, Tennessee. The right-hand batter on the first pitch. It's foul tipped for a strike. We were a little confused there. Perhaps the ball was over the plate about letter high and called a strike. We couldn't tell whether the ball hit the handle of the bat of Tipton or just hit the edge of the mitt of Salkal and bounced away. In any event, George Barr called it a strike. Now Warren spawns into the windup, delivers, and it's in there for call strike two. And Warren Spahn is really doing a tremendous job out there. There have been many high spots of pitching in this series, but none excelled. Here's your pitch, swung on, line foul down the left field line, but none of them have excelled the stint turned in so far by Spahn. Twenty-seven-year-old left-hander, comes in with a pitch, swung on, grounded, foul off to the left of the plate. Two outs, last half of the ninth inning, with the score, 11-5 in favor of the Braves. Outfield playing Tipton to pull, Joe Tipton, batting for Bob Moncrief. The boy that was born in Copper Hill, Tennessee, but lives in McKaysville, Tennessee now. And the pitch is high outside. Ball one, 1-2. Warren Spahn working rapidly. Into the windup, delivers. The pitch swung on and missed. Strike three. And Warren Spahn winds up in a tremendous blaze of glory as he strikes out five of the last six men he faces. No runs for Cleveland. No hits, no errors, and nobody left on base. And Warren Spahn went from the fourth inning with one out when he came in to relieve Nelson Potter and pitched 5 2/3 innings of one-hit ball. Your totals, the Boston Braves, 11 runs, 5, 6, 11, 12 hits. No errors. 3-6. Six men left on. For the Cleveland Indians, 5 runs, 6 hits, 2 errors, and 4 men left on.
This was the fifth game of the 1948 World Series, which now stands Cleveland, 3 victories, Boston, 2. And tomorrow, Bob Lemon and Big Bill Voisel, 2 right-handers, will battle it out at Braves Field on the banks of the Charles River in Boston. Don't forget, folks, that we'll be back on the air tomorrow afternoon at 12:45 Eastern Standard Time to report the crucial sixth game of this 1948 World Series for you direct from Braves Field in Boston. Until then, smooth sailing, smooth shaving, and good afternoon from your host, the Gillette Safety Razor Company, Mel Allen and Jim Britt.
We wish to thank the following sponsors for relinquishing their broadcast time today for the broadcast of the game just concluded. The Keeper of the Keys, William L. Sharer, John B. Kennedy, The Canary Pet Show, Your Hymnal, Blackstone the Magician, and Juvenile Jury. Blackstone the Magician will be heard one time only at 7:30 next Tuesday night. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.